Blog Talk Radio.
Of the truth. This is the 164th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Our Refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to focus on Joshua chapter 20. That's right, we're going to find Jesus there in the pages of a dusty Old Testament book. You know, the Bible, it's all about Jesus. That's right, it's all about him. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not, but all of the Bible is about Jesus, not just part of it. You know, most in Christendom today mistakenly think that the Old Testament is about Moses and the prophets, and the New Testament is about Jesus. But Jesus is the hero of the entire Bible, all 66 books of the sacred canon. So when you read the Bible, if you don't see the story of Jesus in it, you better go back and reread that particular part of the Bible, because standing somewhere, even if he's hiding in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. You know, remember, after the resurrection, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples, the Bible says he began to expound to them the Word of God. And the Bible says, and I'm quoting specifically out of Luke, chapter 24, verse 27, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, remember back then, the only scriptures were the Old Testament. So Jesus was talking about the Old Testament, and he says he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus then showed them then in all the scriptures, that's the Old Testament, the things concerning himself. And notice, he didn't say all the things concerning himself in the scriptures, but he said in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, why am I making such a big point about that? Well, because Jesus was saying, search the scriptures, for they are that which testify of me. That's John 5:39. He's talking about the Old Testament. So maybe you think, oh, well, Joshua's just a book of history. Well, it is. It's his story. It's all about Jesus. So in this message, we're going to find Jesus right there in the pages of chapter 20 of the book of Joshua, just like we'd find him in any other book of the Bible. You know, most people speak of the four Gospels, but actually there are 66 Gospels, starting with Genesis and ending with Revelation, because they're all about Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we'll see Jesus right here in these six refuge cities that we're going to study in Joshua chapter 20. I'm going to read the first three verses to kind of set the scene for this. So Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So God was establishing these special cities called refuge cities. And today, we're going to look at three incredible truths that all point to Jesus. All point to Jesus in just the nature of these cities, in the names of these cities, and in the nearness of these cities. So first of all, let's look at the nature of these cities. In verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua here, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of for you cities of refuge. So back then, when somebody accidentally killed a friend or a helper or a coworker, so they accidentally caused the death of another, maybe in a farming accident or while clearing land and they dropped a tree on the other person. You know, those things even still happen today. So when that boulder accidentally rolls onto the other person and kills them, well, back in that day, when somebody killed another, it was a custom for a very close relative of the deceased to avenge the death. And they were called, and we'll try to say it in Hebrew, Goel Hadam, or an avenger of the blood. Now, we're not talking about cold-blooded murder here. We're just talking about what we'd call involuntary homicide or manslaughter today. These people needed refuge, a place to go to plead their case, a place to go and wait until the judge could hear them. They needed safety from their avenger. That's what I'm trying to say. So they had to go somewhere for sanctuary. They needed somewhere for safety. They needed to go to a refuge until this matter could be settled. So that safe refuge were these six cities. And it gave them an opportunity to tell their side of the story to the judge, who would hear this whole thing out. So these six special cities were called cities of refuge, and that's the nature of the city. But they're also speaking prophetically to us in terms of a type or shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's so exciting about this. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And then listen again to Joshua chapter 20, verse 3. And it's very interesting that this city of refuge was intended for a person who killed somebody accidentally. In the Bible, it says, unawares or unwittingly killing another or slaying another, as it said in the King James. So like I said, this wasn't a refuge for cold-blooded murderers. It was established for people who were guilty of involuntary manslaughter, a person who no doubt had caused the death of another, but maybe they did it unawares or carelessly. And that's the point I'm trying to drive home here. So they're still guilty, but not guilty as though they did it premeditated or in cold blood. So let's just see how this applies to us today. Why would we need a refuge city? I mean, why? We haven't killed anybody, have we? Yes, we have. We're guilty of someone's death. The person whose death we're guilty of or for is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, we helped put Jesus on that cross. We crucified the Lord of glory. We did. Now, some of you may get upset when I say that, but that's true. You may say, well, I didn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I would never have held that hammer and driven those nails. Well, and that's probably true. Not in a literal sense, but in your sins and in my sins and in our hard hearts, those sins are the nails, and those hard hearts are the hammers that drove the nails into our Lord of glory. So in a strange and very supernatural way, we did it. Maybe unwittingly, maybe unknowingly, but we did crucify our Lord of glory. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's Luke 23:34. That wasn't just talking about those people right there at the time, the Roman soldiers and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. No, it was talking about each and every one of us. We are guilty and we need forgiveness. We need a place of refuge. So there's also another kind of person who crucifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that do it with malice and premeditation and even hatred as they crucify him. And you see these people. You can see them out protesting. You can see them on television. You can see them just slamming the faith once delivered unto the saints, as St. Jude put it. Well, they don't get the city of refuge. The Bible says, beginning in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received knowledge of the truth. So here we're not talking about the person who doesn't know what he's doing. And honestly, how many people in the Western world have not heard the gospel? So if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So in other words, there's no city of refuge for people that trample the blood. There's no more city of refuge for people that have heard this gospel. And like I said, who hasn't heard it in the Western world? And yet they mock it, they hate it, they scorn it. I mean, I've heard some horrible things uttered upon Jesus. You know, they're essentially blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And listen to what it says in verses 27 through 30 of Hebrews chapter 10. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's those people. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer judgment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know that he hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So the scriptures are telling us here that even though we're guilty of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, because we did it in ignorance and in stupidity, we have a refuge. But if we have done it willingly and knowingly, look out, because he will avenge for the bloodshed. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them. And he said that to those of us who did it unknowingly and unwittingly. But once you've heard that gospel, folks, and you know the truth, you have an obligation to honor that blood. You no longer trample that blood. You stand under that blood, and you receive the covering that comes from that blood. So beware, if you are deliberately rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ with your eyes wide open, and you're trampling beneath your feet his precious blood, look out. I'm telling you, if you do not repent, there may be no hope for you. And I'm telling you right now, if that's your attitude, there's no city of refuge for you. And I'm so glad, praise the Lord, that I can flee for refuge. And I'm telling you, my refuge is the name of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the nature of these refuge cities, and I hope you see how it applies to Jesus. Isn't that just awesome? Now let's look at those names of the cities in verses 7 and 8. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjathbatha, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho, eastward they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. So here you have these six cities, and they have names. and they have specific names with specific meanings. And all of these meanings tell us something about our Lord of glory, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our refuge. And this is what's so exciting. So now let's look at each of these cities. And we're going to see in this passage that Kadesh represents our Savior. That word Kadesh means a place of holiness. Aren't you glad you have a place of refuge that is holy? So Christ is literally our holiness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So how holy are you? I mean, honestly, I've asked myself that question. You know, can anyone listening to this today say, oh, in my own self and in my own strength, I'm just living this holy life? I'll tell you what, if you're doing that, beware. You have a Pharisaical spirit. There is no way you are sanctified. There's no way you're set apart. There's no way you're holy. You're justified except by the blood of the Lamb. There's not one of us who ought to have the audacity to put our puny little sinful, paltry lives alongside the life of our Lord of glory, the Holy God. No way, folks. We shouldn't do that. You know, we all ought to know that alone we're not holy. Yet God says, God says this. He's saying, without holiness, no man shall see God. So how then, how then are we going to attain this holiness? Well, we must be given it by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what's known as an imputed righteousness or an imputed holiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, listen to how Paul words this. He says, for he, that's Jesus, hath made him to be sin for us. So the Father is making Jesus sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He was perfect in all ways, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it's not in and of ourselves. That's what I'm trying to say here. And like the song we'll play at the end says, in my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And listen for those words at the end here. So we have this city of refuge that's made holy for us, but not in ourselves, but through his holiness, which is the holiness imputed to us through Jesus Christ. Isn't this awesome? So this city of Kadesh tells us that Jesus is our Savior. And then the next city, Shechem, it's our strength in Jesus. That word means shoulder. Now, you may be wondering, well, how does shoulder signify strength or support? Well, remember the story of the Good Shepherd in the Gospel of Luke? That sheep was lost, and he went out and found that lost sheep. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 5, he, that's Jesus, layeth on his shoulders. So he took that lost sheep and put it up on his shoulders. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, listen to this. The Bible says, he's saying this of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is like a foreshadowing. Again, another foreshadowing of Jesus. It says, and the government shall be upon his what? His shoulders. So our Lord Jesus Christ has these strong and mighty shoulders. Praise the Lord. So this city of Shechem is telling us that Jesus Christ isn't only our Savior, who's given us holiness or imputing holiness and righteousness to us, but he's our strength, the one who carries us along. Isn't that awesome? So we need to get this if we ever, ever want to live the Christian life, because God never asks you to live the Christian life alone. He wants to be your strength. He wants to live in you. He wants to operate through you and me, and he's never going to do that until we surrender to him. We have to put our hands up and just say, I surrender, Lord. You know, the saving faith of Jesus Christ is putting your hands up in the air and saying, forsaking all, I trust him. That's Jesus, F-A-I-T-H. And until you do that, you're never going to have his strength flowing through you, because you're still going to be walking in your own will. You're still going to be walking in your own understanding. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm committed. I don't want you to be committed, folks. I want you to be surrendered. Because what's the difference between being committed and surrendered? Well, when you're committed, you still have choice. You still have the ability to say, well, I don't want to do it anymore. I quit. But what's the last thing you have a choice over when you put your hands up? When somebody says, stick them up, and they got a gun in your back, last thing you do is put your hands up. After that, you're under their control. Same thing when you put your hands up in the air and you say, forsaking all, I trust him. That's true spiritual surrender. Now let's look at the third city here, listed by Joshua. Its name was Hebron, and it represents our satisfaction. So Hebron was where the grapes grew and the milk and honey flowed. Remember a few chapters back, if you read the story of Joshua, Caleb was given that mountain, and on that mountain was the city. The mountain was named Hebron, and there was a city named Hebron, and it means fellowship and fullness, okay? So this is telling us that not only is the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior and our strength, but we also derive our satisfaction through him. Think about it. When you have a great feast and you're having it with great friends, what do you have? You have fullness and fellowship, and you're satisfied. And that's what we get in this city called Hebron. And then there's another city called Bezer, and it gives us our security. It means stronghold or fortification. You know, in Psalm 46, verse 1, it reads, God is our refuge and strength. And then in Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, people are always saying, well, I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to go to church and confess my faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I don't care about your faith, folks. I care about the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, we're all given a measure of faith. Every person, believer and non-believer alike, we are faith beings. Stop and think about it for a minute. What atheist doesn't trust the electric company and believe in the electric company? They go over to that light switch and they flip it on. And they trust and believe by an act of faith that the lights are going to come on. What atheist doesn't go to the water spigot? Well, a lot of people don't drink it anymore because it's pretty horrible, but it's potable. You know, it's safe water to drink in a sense. But what atheist wouldn't turn that spigot on and have faith in the system to be able to drink that water? Well, that I call that light bulb and tap water faith. And that's not the faith that saved you. We're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. So a lot of people want to say, well, I'd like to be a Christian. And I'd like to follow Jesus, but I'm just afraid that I can't. Well, who can? Just remember this. Jesus Christ is our security. That's what Bezer stands for. So when you truly receive Jesus Christ, and you truly understand that this isn't a religion, this is all about relationship. So it's not a religion that you have to hold on to. It's a relationship with Jesus, and he holds on to you. And when you truly receive him as Lord and Savior, so when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as both your Lord and your Savior, you're going to receive this eternal security. You know, it says in Romans, I think it's chapter 13, to clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Paul was using the full title of Jesus there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as Lord, he gives us direction. He tells us what to do. As Jesus, he's delivering us from sin, Satan, and sickness. That's what sozos means. And then as Christ, he's teaching us to have dominion. He said, occupy till I return. So when you're truly living that and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're living like that, you receive what's known as eternal security. And I'm telling you, that's very different than this once saved, always saved doctrine that's being taught in most churches today. When we say Jesus is Lord, we've got to live like he's Lord, and that's what I'm talking about here. And when we do, then we're secure in him. And that's what the city of Bezer is telling us all about. Jesus is our stronghold, and he's our refuge. Praise the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10, don't forget that one. And then there's Ramoth. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's our sovereign. In verse 8 it says, and Ramoth in Gilead. So that name, Ramoth, it means exalted, a high place. And that also speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 2, verse 33, where it's speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, he is at the right hand of God, exalted. Wow, you know, praise the Lord. He's exalted. He's lifted up. He's placed on high. So that tells us that not only is Jesus Christ our Savior, not only is Jesus Christ our strength, not only is Jesus Christ our satisfaction, but he's my security, praise the Lord. He's my sovereign. Oh, wow. You know, he's at the right hand of God exalted. He rules over it all, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, what a city of refuge we have when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why I play that song every week when we start this. Now, what does this last city, Golan, mean? City number 6. Well, it can represent our sanctification, because Golan means separated. And what it's telling us is that Jesus Christ is our sanctification. You know, he's the one who separates us from the world. He's the one who's making us different. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, all in Christ are new creatures. All things are made new. So he's the one that's giving us the ability to do as the commandment says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, where it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. So Jesus Christ literally is our cities of refuge. Now, isn't it awesome how we see that these names, the six names of these cities, tell us about Christ our Savior, our strength, our satisfaction, our security, our sovereign, and our sanctification? Wow, it just blew me away when I saw that in the scriptures. I was so humbled by this truth, you know? We can see Jesus everywhere. I'm telling you, he's in every page of the Bible. He's there somewhere. Just look for him. Now, so far, we've seen the nature of these cities. They're places of refuge for those fleeing from the avenger of the blood. And who's the avenger of the blood right now? Who's after us, prowling, roaring like a lion? That's Satan. So Jesus is our refuge. And then we've looked at the names of these cities, and we've seen even more about the nature of Jesus Christ. Each one of these cities picture an attribute of our refuge, Jesus Christ. And now let's look at the nearness of these cities. We're going to wrap it up with this. In verses 7 and 8, we see that God's arranged these cities to be spread out throughout the land in a definite and very beautiful geographical pattern. It's so amazing. Praise the Lord. You know, three of these cities were in the west, one in the north, one in the center, and one in the south. And then on the other side, you have three of these cities in the east, one in the north, one in the center, and again in the south. So God's arranged this in an incredible pattern so that everyone may be near to one of these cities. And think about it. If you're looking for refuge, you want refuge to be close by, don't you? So these cities were then placed in prominent, high-up places in the mountains where they could be seen with broad roads leading up to them. In fact, these roads were well-marked, and according to Levitical law, they had to be well-maintained. So God's telling us the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, Psalm 145, verse 18. So that nearness of the city is today speaking of how near our Savior is to us. You know, our Savior is only a prayer away. Our salvation is only a prayer away, folks. In Romans 10, verse 6, Paul wrote, the Lord, and this is the Lord speaking through Paul to those who need to be saved, and it says, but the righteous, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. So wouldn't you want to be righteous by faith? Remember, that isn't righteousness by the law. That isn't righteousness by your faith. That's righteousness by the saving faith of Jesus Christ. And it's not righteousness by your membership in your local church. It's not righteousness by your good deeds. It's not righteousness by your baptism. No, no, no. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And that's referring to the faith of Jesus Christ. Pistos Christos in Hebrew. And do you know what it means to be saved by the faith of Jesus Christ right now, today? Well, just listen to what Paul wrote, continuing here in Romans chapter 6, chapter 10, beginning with verse 6. Say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? So that's saying, you don't have to bring Jesus Christ down from above. So if you want to be saved, you don't have to get into a rocket ship, put on a space suit, and go out into heaven and go, Jesus, where are you? Come down, save me, Lord. You don't have to do that. And then in verse 7, Paul says, or who shall descend into the deep? That means we don't have to bring Jesus Christ up again from the dead. He is risen. Praise the Lord, you know. So you don't have to go deep down into the caverns of the earth or go searching for Jesus in the graveyards. You don't have to do that. We don't have to go down to the caverns of hell yelling, Jesus, oh Jesus, if you're here, please come and save me. We don't have to do any of that. In verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, just like we read over in Psalm 145, verse 18. The word is nigh thee. That means it's near to you and me, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Do you realize how close salvation is to you, how close salvation is to me? And remember, salvation is a process. So if you're saved already and thinking you don't need to hear this, remember, you were justified by the blood of the Lamb, but that blood is now sanctifying you, and you still need to be saved. You have been saved. from the penalty of sin. You are being saved from the power of sin in your life, and you will ultimately be saved from the very presence of sin. That's justification, sanctification, glorification. So we all need to hear this. And the Lord is nigh. That's how close your salvation is to you. It's literally in your mouth and in your heart. Now, you may be wondering, well, who put it there? Well, I just preached it to you. That's right. I preached it right into your hearts. And that's the word of faith that we preach, the word of faith that we teach, the saving faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once delivered unto the saints, as Jude put it. So I'm preaching and teaching it right into you right now. So it's in your mouth. And all you have to do is start saying, Jesus is Lord. Put your hands up in the air and just say, Jesus is Lord. It's in your heart, now let it out of your mouth. So you don't have to go off to heaven to find him. You don't have to go crawling through hell looking for him. You don't have to do that. He's here right now. Praise his holy name. Just put your hands up and call upon him. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. That's the glorious truth of Jesus. He's here right now. So just remember the nature of these cities. There are cities of refuge. That's Jesus. Remember the names of these cities. They all foretell of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then think of the nearness of these cities and how wonderful it is for anybody, anywhere, that you can call upon the name of our Lord and be saved. You can be saved from the penalty of the sin in your life if you don't know Jesus. You can be saved from the power sin is wielding over you if you've already been saved. And ultimately, we're all going to be saved from the very presence of sin as we're glorified and made like Jesus. Now, listen to the conclusion here in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So remember, this is a process. This is God talking to you right now, wherever you are in your walk with him. You need to be justified and saved from the penalty of sin. Call upon the Lord. You need to be sanctified and delivered from the power of sin in your life, call upon the Lord. Or you're near the shores of eternity because of your circumstances. And it is a late time, so we're all closer than we think. But you're literally going to be delivered from the very presence of sin and be glorified. So wherever you are, just remember the Lord is nigh to those who call upon him. Call out and just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Save me. You know, it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I know some of you need to hear this truth right now for whatever situation you're in. I'm just pleading with you to call upon the Lord. No, just know that he is your refuge. And he is all you need. I love you all, and I'm telling you, there's a city of refuge out there. It's nigh if you call out. Just call out and be saved.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flows be of sin. Come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, found I to the fountain blind, wash me, Savior, or I die, wash me, Savior, or I die. draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages, clap for me, let me hide myself, let me hide myself, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself, let me hide myself, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself, let me hide, let me hide myself in thee. Oh,
I love y'all. Just hide yourself in the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's our refuge in times of trouble. He is. I love y'all. I'll see you next week, provided the Lord's willing.